The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
To heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I got hairy legs, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Financial Guys Radio Network, the show. It should be an exciting show today. Carl Paladino is on his way in. Anyway, it's Russ Thompson, Carl Paladino, and coming up in a minute, really just a couple of minutes, is a friend to a lot of people in West New York and a friend to a lot of us in politics, Roger Stone. He'll be calling in, and he's going to be with us up until 2 o'clock, or if he wants to stay on later, that'd be fine by me, too. But anyway, we're here, and for a couple of plugs right away, if you need to get a hold of the Financial Guys, 833-FIN-GUYS, the Financial Guys Radio Network, we are on WBEN, WHAM, WFTL. And now, new is a podcast. Carl and I started a podcast 3 episodes ago, and so we've got the first 3 up. This show hopefully will be uploaded onto the podcast too. You can find them just by looking for Freedom Talks with Russ and Carl on Google Play, Apple Broadcasts, Pandora, and Spotify. A lot of these things I don't know, but I'm learning a lot. I've listened to some podcasts, but usually I just listen to them on my computer, but I don't know how to find them. But anyway, the Financial Guys, Mike and Glenn, they do a podcast, I believe, every Wednesday. And then, no, every Thursday. And then they upload theirs. And then we've been doing them every Wednesday. And they're uploaded usually about Thursday morning. And I always post on my Facebook page. If you're not friends with me on Facebook, look me up. Russ Thompson, Russ with one S, R-U-S-T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. Right on Facebook. Also, I just joined Parler. With all the censorship that's going on Facebook, I was actually almost sent to jail the other day. Surprise, surprise, right? I'm always posting, as far as I'm concerned, pertinent things. Stories that you're not hearing on the news, on the radio. I find articles, usually anywhere between 6, 8, 10 articles every day to try to keep everybody around here informed of everything else that's going on in the United States and in the world, stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. And so I consider it to be a service because I want to know what's going on. I want to know what's going on in the world. I want to know what's going on inside the country besides a constant rambling on and edicts coming down from Andrew Cuomo and the COVID and China virus, whatever you want to call it. Face masks, you got to wear face masks everywhere you go, every time you turn around. People are getting thrown out of stores, you're getting refused services at different businesses. It's really gotten to the point where it's out of hand. Something else I want to talk about probably in the second hour is going to be what Cuomo just did. And it's starting to affect a lot of bars and restaurants with him coming out with it with another edict, of course, with you have to eat something if you're going to be at a bar. All right, so you can't just go to a bar. You can't go and meet your friends after work if you got your job back. You can't just stop at a bar, sit down, have a couple of cocktails with your friends or one play a game of pool. There is no sports to watch on TV except for golf. I just saw that we got golf on TV. But you can't even do that. Cuomo is micromanaging this state to absolute death, as far as I'm concerned. So we got to get something under control. I'm hoping that when Carl comes in, he'll be in after Roger gets done with the show. He can update us on a lawsuit that's being filed or has been filed against Andrew Cuomo. So that I hope that we can fill up the second hour with that, and we'll be taking phone calls. But on the line with us right now is a friend of ours, a friend of mine, friend of Carl Paladino's. I met Roger 10 years ago when Carl was running for governor. I've been watching his case as close as I can. I was following him on Facebook. He got thrown off of Facebook. I follow his wife on Instagram. I was able to keep track of everything that was going on, and I was thrilled to death when the president came out and commuted his sentence, because he was going into prison, a COVID-infected prison, and to guys that are older like us, that could have been a death sentence. Roger, welcome to the show. How does it feel to be free?
Well, it feels pretty darn good. Obviously I am thankful to God, because I think God, to whom I prayed fervently for that moment,
amen,
gave the president the guidance to do something extraordinarily courageous, in an election year.
Yeah.
I know many around the president advised him not to do it, and so on. But he is a man of great compassion and great fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he realize that I didn't get an unfair trial, we'll come back to that, I did not get a fair trial.
Fair, yeah, there you go.
I also was being treated differently than every other person in my situation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in the last 30 days, every single person scheduled to surrender to a federal correctional institution, or every other person already in a federal correctional institution but convicted of a nonviolent crime, has been moved to home confinement. That's the legal precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the rule of the current rules of the Department of Justice and the U.S. Bureau of Prisons to move those, like Michael Avenatti, for example.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Who are convicted of nonviolent crimes from incarceration to home confinement, where it would be safe. The judge ignored the precedent in my case. She ignored the policy of the current DOJ and BOP. She ignored a substantial submission of my health records and a long dissertation from my doctor as to why he believed that this would be, deadly. And then lastly, she keeps insisting that there are no known cases of COVID virus at this particular facility in Jessup, Georgia, when the Bureau of Prisons' own website now shows 113 cases with 83 tests still pending. So the judge, I challenged this in an emergency motion on all those four bases. She ruled that I'd be incarcerated in 2 weeks, July 14th, regardless of all that. Here's the most incredible part. I appealed it to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals because she was wrong on 4 out of 4. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that they're going to uphold her.
No.
The bar leadership at the Department of Justice did not oppose my first motion. Then overnight, for reasons we still don't understand, they flipped and opposed our appeal, even though nothing had materially changed other than the fact that the number of COVID crises had gone up in this particular prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20 minutes before the president signed my commutation, they found 3-0 against me. So I would have been headed to a prison that I think was a death sentence. I've had a lifelong history of asthma. So the president didn't just make a bold political act here by pointing out that his supporters are unfairly treated by the Justice Department. It's funny, the same exact week that I was convicted, the new prosecutor in my case, J.P. Cooney, announced that he had decided not to prosecute Andrew McCabe. Same week.
I was watching your case. I was watching your appeals. I was watching while the trial was going on. I couldn't believe the stuff that I was hearing. I couldn't believe what their supposed evidence was. And then to find out that you were going to be sent to prison, as soon as I found out where, I did a search on it. And I brought that prison up, and I looked at their history of COVID. That was an infected prison. I don't care what they were saying, what it was on the website. I was looking, and I found so many cases. And yet, like you had stated, that they were not required to wear face masks. They were not required to do any kind of social distancing whatsoever. They were in there. COVID was spreading around. But yet you look at all the other prisons around. They're letting prisoners go that are now out running the streets that are really wreaking havoc in places like New York City. But yet other people were sent home with basically home confinement. They had a cuff on their ankle, an ankle bracelet, yeah. And they were able to stay at home. But no, you, no matter what you were doing, no matter what you said, you were going to have to go to prison. So I thank God, and I thanked hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people that were on board praying for you. Really, my Facebook page is, well, we were friends on Facebook until you got thrown off, and now I just found you on Parler last night, so... There was hundreds, if not thousands, of people that were praying for you and praying for President Trump to do this, and I'm so glad he did.
Well, and beyond that, it just seems to me that there was a method of madness. They were not just sending me to prison to punish me. The last thing the judge and the jury and the prosecutors in my case is the last thing they want is more my appeal to be heard in front of a fair court.
Exactly.
When that happens... then at that point, everybody will be exposed. So much of my case is still sealed, and I can't speak about it, and the public knows so little about it. But on appeal, I think a lot of people would realize that going to trial in the District of Columbia like be going into a boxing match with both hands tied behind your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Then having the press stand on the sidelines and say, well, Stone never threw a punch.
Yeah.
You can't throw a punch because you're completely hampered. In my case, the judge had multiple pretrial rulings that essentially eliminated all of the strongest defense arguments.
Right.
I could not argue a selective prosecution, even though Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Cabe, Comey, Page, Strzok, or Rosenstein himself, Mueller himself, Hillary Clinton, they all lied to Congress, but they lied about material matters. They lied about matters of substance, whereas I was accused of lying about, or I should say, making misstatements about things that hid no underlying crime,
mm-hmm.
Nothing to hide. Therefore, I had no intent, but it didn't matter. I could have had Clarence Darrow representing me. I could have had John Bartholomew representing me. I still would have lost.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, I want to hit on this Russian investigation more, yeah. because of the results that have come out of committee about three and a half years, they found nothing whatsoever. So if you actually lied to Congress like you were being accused of, what did you actually lie about? You know, if there's no underlying crimes, how could they get you on lying? And that's something that I've been trying to figure out for a long time. But we're going to take a quick break. Then as soon as we get back, we'll jump into this. Carl will jump into the conversation too. And then we'll keep on going. Be right back.
You're listening to the Financial Guys Radio Network with guest hosts Carl Paladino and Russ Thompson. Need your weekly Glenn and Mike fix? Check out their podcast, available on all streaming platforms and YouTube. New episodes are released every single week. Now, here's Carl Paladino and Russ Thompson.
We're back. You know, Mike and Glenn are on with their podcast. They're also on YouTube. I don't know if Carl and I have the face to do YouTube, so I'm not sure if we're going to do a YouTube podcast or not. But I do follow Mike and Glenn on YouTube, on every single social platform they got. But I got more followers than them. But welcome back. Carl Paladino's here. He's got Sally in with him. Sally has gained 20 pounds since the last time I saw. She's going to be a big dog. She really is. So anyway, we're back. Roger, you still there with us?
I am with you. Let me just say, Russ, you definitely have a face for radio.
That's what I thought, too. You know, I mean, and you haven't seen me in how many? Well, no, actually, when Carl put that thing on for you, I saw you there, but there were so many people glomming around you. I said, I can talk to Roger. Well, but I got the T-shirt that you signed for me that my wife Jewel brought up. And I got the picture of you and Jewel, you holding up my T-shirt.
Well, my pleasure. Plus, things change with Carl Paladino. Late for every campaign event. Late for.
It's like I told Frank when I came walking in. I said, "Carl's going to be a little bit late." He goes, "What's new?" And I said,
"I was born late."
I said, "If I'm not picking him up, he's going to be late." But when I picked him up, we were late. We were on time every time, Roger, when I had him.
Well, Carl, I've got to say, when you look at it retrospectively, there's no question you ran the worst campaign for governor of all
time. I didn't take any advice. No.
Then Sheldon Silver is a crook. I remember.
It was the truth, man.
Yeah. I heard.
Belongs in prison. I remember everybody said you were out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of your time. You are a sage.
Yeah.
Have averted disaster that is the Cuomo administration.
Mm-hmm.
So I was making a little joke there, but if you go back and look at it, everything Carl predicted has come true.
Absolutely.
They would try to restrict our gun rights. They have. He said the economy would not come back in upstate New York because of these projects that are basically phony, that were designed to help Andrew's big contributors.
Mm-hmm.
Right about that. He was right about the epic corruption in the state legislature, where both the Speaker and the Republican minority leader, or I guess Senate President at that time, went to prison. So, Carl, you were just ahead of your time.
Yeah. You know, our upstate economy is really the real story. This virus has sort of pushed it into the background, but our upstate economy is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all the way from Albany to all the way to Buffalo. It's crazy. And this governor is getting away with a lot of it. The press seems to still love him, and for God knows what reason. And he continues to abuse his job. Yeah. Killing all those people in the nursing homes, criminally negligent homicide, and no prosecutor has the wherewithal to go after him. You know, it's just terrible.
But Roger was almost sent to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Roger.
I mean, look. Well, I mean, I'm sure most Americans saw the morning of January 25th, 2019, when the Mueller prosecutors in the FBI arresting me for a first-time nonviolent white-collar process crime arrive at my home in 29 armored vehicles. 29 fully, you know, out in SWAT gear, carrying assault weapons, with their night goggles, completely surround the house. Two FBI boats pull up to the dock behind my house. There are frogmen.
No.
I mean, this is, it was as if I was El Chapo.
We got to do this movie, man.
Yeah.
We got to do this as a movie.
My lawyer, the day before, all they had to do was say to my lawyer that, we're going to bring charges against your client, bring him in, and I would have gone. But the point of this, of course, was we needed to put on a show for CNN.
Yeah, exactly. And they were the only ones there, right? And they showed up prior to the cops even showing up?
Exactly 14 minutes. making it the shortest journalistic stakeout in America.
Journalistic stakeout. I like that. I like that.
I mean, they're getting an award from the White House Correspondents Association for their superb on my arrest, when in fact, I think you know this, Carl, that tipping somebody off about the execution of a search warrant, which was served at the same time as my arrest warrant, is a felony. they're being celebrated by the elites in the fake news for basically breaking the law. And look, I'm a pretty tough guy. You know, I kind of roll with the punches. But dragging my wife out of the house at gunpoint and making her stand in the middle of the street in a nightgown and her bare feet so that CNN can get a good shot, that's the kind of people we're talking about here.
I was so angry when I saw that.
And they still work for the FBI. That's the most disgusting part of it.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
The first thing the president should do, and I wouldn't wait till the election, he should fire Christopher Wray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wyatt, I'll tell you, Roger, one of the most irritating things since the president got elected was his continuing to keep on these leftover Obama hacks that were there, and they are only working with behind the scenes to basically undermine the president. Everybody sees it. All my friends see it. It's just insane.
Reg, how do they select? How does the Trump administration select these people? How do they vet them? How do we end up getting people like that? I mean, one after another.
And in this particular case, Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, ended Chris Wray for this job, which kind of makes sense because if you look at Chris Wray, he looks like he should be dealing at one of the tables in Atlantic City.
Agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
The night that my president, in a really courageous act of both justice and mercy, commuted my sentence, averting what I thought was a certain death in a COVID-infected prison, giving me time for my appeal to be heard, Chris Christie was on TV saying that he was opposed to the commutation. Well, you know what? I think it's time to reopen the investigation into the insider trading case against Chris Christie's brother, in which the U.S. attorney...
Boom. Hold it right there. We got a hard break for the news, Roger. I want you to pick it up as soon as you get back.
On the other side.
Yep.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll-free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
We're back. Roger, I want you to pick up right where you were left off when we had to go to that hard break. I'm really sorry, but something I can't do anything about. You there, Roger? What happened to Roger, Frank? Well, wait till Roger gets back up. I don't know. The phone line just went dead. Whether he's there or not, I can't hear anything. But, Carl.
Yeah.
What were you going to bring up with Roger? Hopefully he'll be able to listen and respond to it. If not, we'll get him back again.
Well, Roger understands a lot of the processes, the background, the stuff that is not usually in the public eye. And, to see a guy like Wray, a man of such weak spine, I really don't know much about his history or what he had done, but to see him appointed by the president at a time when it's a very critical job, and looking at all the other possible candidates who he could have appointed who would have been much fairer to him,
right?
I just asked Raj for some background on that. And what he's told us is that Chris Christie was the godfather of Wray, and why Trump trusted Chris Christie is the next question.
No, we just found out we lost Roger's call. So, Roger, if you're listening, call back, because something happened. The miracles of cell phones these days, sometimes you just drop, you go into a dead zone. But Roger, if you're listening out there, please give us a call back. We'll get you. We'll keep you as long as we have you. But you're exactly right. I mean, I don't. Why did they keep Christopher Wray? Why has Trump kept so many people that are openly working to undermine him? It drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it can happen, especially in government. So many people involved, and I'm sure that. He doesn't intentionally, that he does pay some good attention. It's just that some of those advisors that are close in on him are telling him, oh, this guy will be all right. You know, they're doing the vetting. He obviously can't do all that.
Oh, no, not at all. And we got Roger back. Roger, you there?
Yes, indeed. I don't
Good.
Know what that problem was, but I've been having a lot of technical issues here recently. Let me finish where I was.
Yes, please.
On the night of my commutation, which I think was a courageous act mm-hmm. by the president, an act of a humanitarian act, really, of both mercy and justice, not only because I didn't get a fair trial, but because he understood that the deep state was not going to let me live to get to my appeal, because my appeal would be way too embarrassing to them.
Right.
It'll all be exposed. Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, the man who gave you Christopher Wray, attacked the president, said it was the wrong move, and so on. I think, personally, we should reopen the investigation into Chris Christie's brother, because during Chris Christie's tenure as the U.S. attorney, a company that Chris Christie's brother was deeply involved with was accused of insider trading. All of the executives of the company went to prison with the exception of Chris Christie's brother.
Wow.
The U.S. attorney in the case gave Chris Christie's brother a pass, whereupon he resigned from government, went into private practice, and Chris Christie gave him a conservatorship worth millions and millions of dollars worth of law fees. So, Chris, don't lecture anybody about what's right and wrong and the rule of law, please.
Yeah. You know, Raj, you have such wide experience and knowledge of the background of a lot of these people that mm-hmm. We should call perps, who, for some reason or not, sit back and don't seem to have a worry in the world. You know, you got McCabe, you got Strzok, you got Strzok's girlfriend. I mean, these, why, even with Barr seeming to be at times a very, very strong U.S. attorney and somebody who's not going to let stuff go. Why has nobody taken up these things and brought justice for the American people? The American people feel that some people are just above the law,
mm-hmm.
and that is so unfortunate. You know, and so wrong.
Fortunately, it's unfortunately true. Carl, before you arrived, I commented on the fact that the very week that I was convicted in Washington, D.C. in a Soviet-style show trial, where I had a stacked jury, I had a corrupt jury forewoman working against me, the judge outruled, prohibited every powerful line of defense. I mean, it wasn't a trial, it was a lynching. That very week, the prosecutor in my case, the new chief prosecutor, J.P. Coney, announced that he had decided not to prosecute Andrew McCabe. Now, the crimes McCabe confessed to, because he wasn't even saying that he hadn't lied. He was admitting that he had lied.
Right.
Far more significant than what I had been accused of. On top of that, the inspector general and two separate reports from the DOJ to Attorney General Barr recommended the prosecution of James Comey, in both cases, for crimes that carry significantly more jail time under the guidelines than what I was accused of. But the attorney general has elected not to prosecute Mr. Comey, the former FBI director. Now, some people say, well, perhaps that's because Durham is working on something much bigger. Well, if that were true, then Mr. Barr should indict Mr. Comey now,
mm-hmm.
show the American people that there aren't two-tiered justice, and then they can issue a superseding indictment indicting for other things later, if that is the case. But there seems to be an elite, a power elite, they're kind of in both parties, who are above the law. Yet in my prosecutors go to multiple judges and federal magistrates, and they tell them, we have probable cause to investigate Roger Stone for treason, espionage, conspiracy against the United States, money laundering millions in rubles in violation of the the foreign campaign contribution ban, mail fraud, wire fraud, cyber crimes, including unauthorized access to a computer and receipt and dissemination of stolen material, and abetting a conspiracy, accessory to a conspiracy after the fact, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
These
guys go in with a list of 15 crimes. They get the judge to give them a search warrant. They give me the full legal proctological examination. They go through every at every corner of my life, personal life, my business life, my political life, my social life, my family life, my sex life, everything you can imagine, and they find nothing.
Nothing. Just like they've been going after Trump. Three and a half years, they've been going after him. They got nothing.
And I think what's so amazing to the American people is that the president is our guy, but he can't seem to be able to do anything about these things. He can't see it. It seems that the certain elements in that Justice Department and the FBI are swamp rats, okay, that the president really can't get in there and control.
Well, he never cleaned house.
Right.
Cleaned house because nobody ever told him that was his prerogative.
Yeah, I brought that up while we were waiting for you to get back on the line.
Richard Nixon was vice president for 8 years. Before that, he was in the Senate. Before that, he was in the House. Lyndon Johnson was vice president for 3 years. Before that, he was in the Senate for 10 years. These guys know how government works.
Yeah.
They could tell you the 10 most powerful and important jobs in government, the next 10 and the next 10. And anybody who's been involved understands, for example, that it is the president's prerogative to replace every ambassador who served in the previous administration. Yet when Donald Trump attempted to replace the ambassador to Ukraine, the fake news media acted like that was some kind of crime.
Yeah.
Which
isn't.
She was a virulently anti-Trump globalist. She was bad-mouthing him at the cocktail parties across Europe.
Mm-hmm.
He should have fired her on the first day of his presidency. But unfortunately, and I don't blame the president for it, he had gathered around him some very good people, and some other people who were establishment Republicans,
mm-hmm.
who were never really for him, but who gravitate to power. And I don't think he was ever told the full range of his options. It was not unreasonable for him to think that Comey was a professional. He had served both Republicans and Democrats. I think it was not unreasonable to expect that he would be loyal to the next president because he was loyal to the last three. But the real division in Washington, this is the part my friends don't really get. It is not Republicans versus Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
It's insiders versus an outsider. The Donald Trump is an outsider. He doesn't belong to their clubs.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to belong to their clubs. He's not in the Trilateral Commission. He's not part of the Council on Foreign Relations. He doesn't go to the Bohemian Grove. He doesn't go to Davos. He doesn't drink their Kool-Aid.
Right.
They have this overall view that America was a great superpower in its day, but that our days of being number one in the world are over. We just have to accept a backbench in the global economy and just be another nation. And we have to recognize that we can't bring manufacturing jobs back, that we can never be, what we were. And Trump completely rejects that and then proved that he was right. So right now,
yeah.
I see is the major problem in any campaign for any office at any level. I don't care if you're running for sheriff of Erie County or whether you're running for president of the United States. Your campaign begins with your having a one-sentence rationale for why people should vote for you and not the other person. That's the first thing you must have. And to me, it's abundantly clear.
I agree.
In this case, we had the strongest, most robust, most vibrant economy in our history.
Yep.
Because the president had no choice but to protect the public health, and he had to err on the side of caution in that. People say, well, all the projections were wrong. I say, thank God they were wrong. But he had no choice. He had to be as conservative and as cautious as possible. He was forced to destroy our economy. He had no choice because people could have died. But now is an elementary question for the voters. Who is better to rebuild our economy? A man who has already proven that he knows exactly how to do it, whose program of cutting taxes and regulation and renegotiating our trade deals are already in place, or a man whose prescription for the economy will kill the sick patient?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Roger. There's no question about it. I mean, in the 3 years, 3.5 years he was there before this COVID, basically brought everything to a screeching halt. We were starting to boom. I mean, lowest unemployment since the 70s, lowest black unemployment in the history of record keeping, and you had manufacturing jobs that were coming back. Everything was starting to come back, and then he renegotiated all these trade deals, which had benefited the other countries and were killing the United States. And everybody was moving offshore instead of investing into this country. And everything started to turn around. And we were making headway like people never thought we were going to, because it's been drilled over our head to the past, I don't know how many administrations, that, you know what, we're going to be a service economy anymore. We're not going to be great like we used to be. We're not going to have the cars. We're not going to have the steel plants. We're not going to have coal. We're not going to have any of it. And then suddenly, well, as quick as it could be done, boom, Trump got in and he started flipping this stuff around. It's just a shame that what's going on right now. You know,
that is why it is absolutely crucial that I can understand the president's position. I mean, I think that he performed so well in his first term that he clearly merits reelection. Yet, yeah. Signature, you know, he was forced to throw away his whole card because he had to protect the public health. So I do think that he has to recognize that on the top five issues in the country, more people agree with him than Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get on an aggressive war footing. But the key will always still be the economy.
Yeah.
Simple choice. A man who's proven he knows how to bring it back, or a man whose prescription is deadly.
Yeah, and a guy that spent, what, 50 years in Washington, D.C., now wants to preach out of his basement that he's going to go back to Washington, D.C., and he's going to fix it. Really, it's like asking the inmates to run the asylum. And it's like asking any political body whatsoever that we want term limits, we want this fixed, we want that fixed, when over time they have worked to insulate themselves from anything that's going around. You can't expect these people to actually do something that's right, because they're bought off. Every one of them, as far as I'm concerned, are bought off. And you were exactly right when you talked about he's not being part of their little clique. He doesn't go to their clubs. He doesn't play their games. That's exactly what goes on at every single level, including at the town levels, the city levels, the county level, and the state level, because all the Republicans in New York, majority of them, signed over with Cuomo in 2010. Yeah. It's everywhere. If you're not part of their little club, you don't get their support, and you're not going to be supported in any way, shape, or form.
Let's be clear that Joe Biden continues to say that China is not a threat to us,
yeah,
that we're not in a competition with China. Of course he says that. He and his son took $1.4 billion.
Right.
China. The Chinese own him. They
yeah.
own him. And the greatest threat to our country today, people will jump all over me for saying it's not Russia, it's China. At least in the case of the Russians, we have the fact that we're both threatened by Islamic terrorism in common. And if we work with them on that, maybe we can crush that threat.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot more going on with China behind the scenes than people realize. And I mean, the cyber threats alone, like Twitter was just completely attacked and accounts were hacked. And they have already traced it already back to China. China right now, as far as I'm concerned, has now become enemy number one. It's no question in my mind.
No question. And some people may have heard just before they were ready to lynch me, because you see, you've got to gag somebody before you can lynch them. That way they can't scream that they've been lynched. Out of the blue comes some claim that falls out of the Mueller report that Roger Stone owned 100 fake Facebook pages.
Really?
This is categorically false. I have my page, my personal page. I have a page for each for my two blogs, The Stone Zone and Stone Cold Truth. I have a page for each one of my books. And that's what I use them for, to promote.
Yeah, people do it all the time.
I have never had a Facebook page in somebody else's name or in the name of a political organization that didn't legitimately exist and operate.
Isn't it funny how they project? They always tell you exactly what they're doing by accusing you of doing that thing. It happens all the time. I mean, they can accuse you of doing something, but then if you look heavily at what they're doing, it's exactly what they're doing, but they're projecting it. I'm the guilty one. Not me. I'm the guilty one. He's the guilty one. Right? It's like, it's a political game. It's a political charade. And that's all they do. And they're professionals at it. They get paid heavily with our tax dollars to do exactly that.
It is really unbelievable. I think that the entire fight over internet censorship is actually the single most important issue.
Agreed.
For the country, because if we cannot communicate with each other, then it's over. I mean, the establishment now realizes that it is only through the rise of a robust, vibrant alternative media based in the internet that Donald Trump was able to get elected.
Right.
You guys are old enough to remember the Goldwater campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Once he got nominated, the three networks decided he was a warmonger, he was a Nazi, he was mentally unstable, he was going to start World War III, and he had no platform from which to counterattack.
Right.
I mean, I always thought it was interesting they kept insisting he was a Nazi when, in fact, he was half-Jewish, which reminds me of his greatest line. He went to a restricted country club, and they said, "I'm sorry, no Jews in here." And he said, "Well, can I go into the pool just up to my waist?"
that's funny. And, you know, isn't it funny that they attacked him on that? And as you go forward, and, I mean, I go back. I was born in 1956. You're only a couple years older than me. And you look through history and you look at what the issues are in almost every single presidential campaign, they're all the same. They're all the same. You know, Reagan was going to start a nuclear war, so wasn't Trump. Nixon, same thing.
Oh, the stock market would crash. Let Donald Trump, the stock market
would
crash. In fact, we had a record stock market.
Exactly.
You know, but this is a problem, because even as we speak, there are millions of conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, Christians, gun owners, non-liberals, Trump supporters, who are just being willfully decapitated on Facebook. I hear from friends who, during my fight, would occasionally post things in support of me, not at my request, just because mm-hmm. they follow the news. They have now summarily just lost their page, gone, closed.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because you posted something in support of Roger Stone. The real question remains, where is Mr. Barr? Because these actions are illegal under the antitrust laws. These are monopolistic practices. In other words, the First Amendment arguments against this have not really picked up much steam, but in the courts. But the government could move on Facebook tomorrow.
Right. Absolutely. And Twitter.
Wait until Facebook announces in early October that they're not going to accept the president's ads. Then maybe they'll wake up to the fact that Facebook is not your friend.
I think they already started limiting some of his ads. He's got an incredible video out there that Facebook refuses to air. Every time it gets up, every time somebody shares it, they shut it down.
This is the fight for the future. I have just signed up on Parler.
Yep, I'm with you.
Now have been banned for life on Twitter 2 years ago. I was a pioneer. I've now been banned at Facebook, where I had, between my two blog sites and my personal site, somewhere around 200,000 followers.
Wow.
Never broke their rules. Wrote about politics. Covered my issues. And I had a great account on Instagram, which I really liked. Had about 50,000 followers. Now I am banned for life on all of those platforms.
Oh my God.
The plan was to gag me before they lynched me.
Right.
Parler has really taken off. If there are conservatives listening, it's Parler. I strongly recommend that you sign up. You can sign up if you're a progressive, you're a liberal, even if you're a vegetarian. Doesn't matter. They don't censor anybody. And it is really, really excellent. And I'm now finding that I'm getting thousands of people who are responding to my views, which is the whole point. You know, Twitter used to be fun. It used to be a vigorous debate. There was repartee. It was funny. Now it's just a cesspool of hate.
It is.
I mean, when I just had my first great-grandchild. My great-grandson was born about a month and a half ago.
I saw that. Congratulations.
My oldest granddaughter gave birth to a bouncing baby boy who's just amazing. And when she showed me her Twitter direct messages and the people saying, "I hope your baby is stillborn."
Oh, God.
"Baby, your baby is the result of incest with your grandfather, and he's a Russian spy." It just made me think to myself, I mean, what, these are the tolerant liberals that we're talking about? Tolerant liberals? It's beyond belief. You can't even imagine the level of hatred that my family, never mind me, because I'm a pretty tough guy, but the level of hatred that my family, my kids, my grandchildren, my wife, have been subjected to since this whole thing started. I mean, I could no longer imagine jumping up in a restaurant and screaming at somebody that they were a Chinese spy. I mean, if you were in a restaurant with me and your politics were different than mine, I would eat my dinner and leave.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, they got to shut you down. They got to kick you out. They got to lock the doors, throw you out and lock the doors. Don't let you in.
That's because they can't win a debate. And they can't win a debate. They can't win an intellectual debate. So they have to do it that way.
Yep.
You're a rock of Gibraltar, Roger. Your ability to stand back up and punch back is fantastic. And I think you're a great lesson for many Americans about how to deal with the politic. You did it. You've shown such great strength. And I think a lot of people sympathize with that.
Roger, we got to wrap it up, but you're more than welcome to stay if you want to stay.
Yeah, please,
come back a little bit and so you can plug all your websites, and we can continue on with this. We'll be right back, folks.
Good.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Open the curtain, please. We are introducing New York State Clean Hand Sanitizer, made conveniently by the state of New York.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
This is a superior product to products now on the market. Purell, competitor, New York State Clean. It has a very nice floral bouquet, little I detected, lilac, hydrangea, tulips, what is it?
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Welcome back, everybody. I do want to say to a couple people that are sending text messages, yes, I do see the text messages. Yes, President Trump knows about Parler. He's on it. I'm following him. And yes, with our podcasts. And Roger, just like with us, we always bring out the best in people. Somebody saying, OMG, shut up. I don't need to hear about all of your legal history. These people have no clue. The haters, they're all over the place. But anyway, Russ Thompson, Carl Palladino, special guest Roger Stone, back on WBEN. If you need the Financial Guys, give them a call, please. 833-FIN-GUYS. The Financial Guys Radio Network. We are on WBEN, WHAM, WFTL. Our podcasts, you can find them on Google Play, Apple Broadcasts, Pandora, Spotify. All you got to do is search out Freedom Talks with Russ and Carl. We do a weekly podcast.
Is Roger, you still on here?
Roger? You still there, Roger?
No, okay.
We kind of lost him again, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask him one more question. I see recently that Jeff Sessions was running once again for the Senate, and he got clobbered in the primary down there, and he deserved that. This is the guy that told America that because he felt a little bit conflicted, he was not going to investigate as U.S. attorney any of the Hillary and Comey and all those shenanigans. Mm-hmm. He was going to send it to a U.S. attorney out west, I forget, Utah or Nevada or someplace, and he was going to have him investigate it. Then we find out a couple years later, okay, that person did absolutely nothing, okay, about investigating it.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are scratching their heads and saying, why?
Right.
Well, it's very simple, Jeff Sessions. Okay, you failed us, and so the people say goodbye to you, and you're done.
I think Roger's back. Yeah. You back, Roger?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, good. Okay. Good, good, good.
Roger, I was just talking about Jeff Sessions and his loss. I mean, he got clobbered by his opponent down in the primary in Georgia, and he deserved it well because he's the guy that had told us that some U.S. attorney out in Nevada or Utah was going to investigate the Hillary McCabe-Comey stuff, and that never happened. In fact, it was just
head fake, Carl. That was a fake. Sure. The voters, in their wisdom in Alabama, showed him the door, which is a great thing. He recused himself from the Mueller investigation or from the Russia question, which in turn put all the power in the hands of that weasel, Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein told the Senate 3 weeks ago, the Senate Judiciary Committee, under oath, that he did not authorize the investigation into Roger Stone. But we know that he did. On October 26, 2017, he's the one who signed the authorization. So, in other words,
Sessions?
Lied to Congress. When is he being prosecuted? Anyway, Carl, I'm going to have to move here in a second. Two things I need to say. This has been a long, horrific struggle for me and my family. It's cost us everything we have. I had my opportunity to flip, as they say. The prosecutors were willing to give me some unspecified leniency had I been willing to, as they put it, come clean and confess that the president and I were deeply involved with the Russians, and I refused. I refused to recharacterize the number of calls between me and the president. I guess because my last name is Stone, they didn't understand that I'm half Sicilian, but that was never going to happen. By the way, I'm down. But Carl Paladino had a fundraiser for my legal defense fund when the coffers absolutely bare, when the lawyers were screaming for more money, when I really didn't know where it was going to come from. Carl Paladino, you are a stand-up guy who is always there for your friends. A lot of Republicans, a lot of my friends cut and run. They head to the high grass. They were your friends only when you could do something for them. But you, Carl, are a man among men. You stand tall. You never, ever flinched when people told you, well, maybe you should just know. You were there, and I deeply appreciate that. And Russ, you couldn't make it, but Jewel was there, and I saw so many friends from, you know, my service to Jack Kemp, my service to other Republicans in the area, and my friendship with Carl.
I was there, Roger. I just didn't. There was a line of people that were waiting to see you.
If we could plan another gathering now. I mean, if we could just line up a date. This virus has killed everything. But as soon as we're able to do that, Roger, we're going to have another party, and it's going to be a big one for you.
I like that idea. And then, additionally, I have to say that the fight goes on. I have now, in a commutation, I win the right to pursue my appeal. Mm-hmm. That's going to cost me another $1 million and probably a year. People who want to help can go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com. The mainstream media is out even now trying to slime me every day. You have all kinds of fuzzy-headed left-wing law professors coming out of the woodwork explaining how Stone can be prosecuted on this. They know nothing whatsoever about my case. If you want to sign a petition to the president, because he could, of course, pardon me after the first of the year. I'm not asking for that right now. But if you want to sign up there, you can go to freerogerstone.com. And if you want to make sure that Roger and Nydia Stone have dinner on the table next week, you can go to stonefamilyfund.com. As I think most folks know, I have lost everything, my home, my savings, my car, my insurance. I'm just now able to make a living again. So I intend to pick up the pieces of my life and get back with it. I'll have some announcements soon about what I'm going to be doing. But both of you guys, Russ, Carl, you have been comrades in arms. You have been strong supporters when the fast bullets flew, and I will never forget it. So God bless you. And God bless your listeners.
Thank you, Roger. And as far as I'm concerned, Carl and I are friends. You're friends. That's what friends do for friends. Okay, we've donated before a couple of times, and we'll donate again. I want to thank you, Roger, for coming on. And you're welcome to be on with us anytime at all, because it's not easy getting your side and your point of view out. And we
you're not kidding.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come on. I'll let you know next time we're on. If you want to come on, the door's wide open for you.
I appreciate it. Many thanks.
Anytime. Roger. Thank you, Roger. Take care of yourself. God bless. All right, on that note, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back, and there's some state issues that we got to hit. Be right back.
You're listening to the Financial Guys Radio Network with guest hosts Carl Paladino and Russ Thompson. Need your weekly Glenn and Mike fix? Check out their podcast, available on all streaming platforms and YouTube. New episodes are released every single week. Now, here's Carl Paladino and Russ Thompson.
We're back, folks. Once again, thanks to Carl Paladino. He's sitting right beside me. And his dog, Sally, is up, kind of trying to get up on my lap. But having Roger come on the show, he was basically stifled for a couple of years where he couldn't do anything. He couldn't talk to anybody, even though I was texting him. I don't know. He had to have gotten my text, but he couldn't respond. He just couldn't do it. So to have Roger on the show is great. Carl and I were talking during the break about having another event for Roger, because there was a lot of people that came out that night. And Roger really does have a big following in Western New York. So I want to thank him and thank everybody for listening. I hope you got an education out of what was going on with Roger. Now, on the home front, Carl's dog Sally is unbelievable. In the 3 weeks since I saw her last, she's already gained 20 pounds. The dog is 55 pounds already. She's going to be a beast. Carl, you got your hands full. You got your hands full with Sally, but she's a beautiful dog. I'll take some pictures of her and I can post them again. Look, she drew blood. I'm gonna file a lawsuit against Carl Paladino and his dog, Sally. But anyway, one thing I did want to know. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I got a napkin. I bleed all the time. I mean, it doesn't bother me. As long as I don't get infected, we're fine. But she's a puppy. Next time, I'm gonna bring a bone with peanut butter in it, and she'll be fine. But we were talking.
One thing I took out of the conversation with Roger was that it's no longer really Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
It's insiders and outsiders, and the insiders are sort of better described as the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Albany or Washington, have taken they've created a new normal, if you want to call it. From
God, I hate that word.
You know, and
but it is.
Whether it be in foreign affairs, domestic affairs, when it comes to the virus, you know, we're watching a man who, in Governor Cuomo, who is so insecure with himself. He's not a street guy. He doesn't surround himself with people that are knowledgeable about the streets and about business and about the effects of his very liberal positions that he takes on various issues, and especially in the case of this virus. Yesterday he came out with a new edict that you can't go into a bar and have a drink unless you're going to eat in the bar. And you can't walk up to the bar to order a drink. Somebody has to serve you. Without having any hearings, without having any public discussion about the merits or demerits of that rule.
Right.
I mean, try to find some logic in that rule. You know, people can by themselves social distance. They've learned that. They're as afraid of the virus as the press could possibly get them to be afraid. And they are reacting accordingly. Why does the governor have to set out ridiculous over the edge rules if you want to call it, so adversely affect our little businesses that are struggling to stay alive? These businesses, these bar and restaurant businesses were shut down for 3 months. Now at least they have an opportunity under with limited restrictions to help recover and stay alive for the future. You know, will that last? Well, not the way this guy is acting. I don't see it. And I just wish that the election was tomorrow for him, and that we might have an opportunity to get him removed. Unfortunately, in New York State, we don't have we don't have recall, petition, or referendum. We those are three types of laws that would give the people the right to bring matters up for a referendum and have an open discussion on them.
You know, that was the point that you and I were discussing during the break too. Is that we really have no ability as voters except for voting. All right, so anything in between, I mean, he's got 2 more years left before he's up for re-election.
Unless he gets hit by a bus.
Yeah. Well, and we won't advocate for that, but if somebody does lose control of a bus.
You may not.
Yeah. But now, we were talking, actually, even on our podcast, about a lawsuit. You brought up Steve Cohen. You got an update on that?
Steve Cohen from Hogan & Willig has sent me copies of the papers that he has drafted. He has filed the summons and complaint. And now recently, in the last few days, he's put together a draft of a motion for summary judgment for injunctive relief to establish that Cuomo has no rights to pass these rules and regulations. They don't have the effect of law, and that it was unconstitutional for the New York State legislature to delegate to him legislative ability. The separation of powers clauses of our constitutions, whether it be federal or state, require that the legislature legislate, that the executive be the enforcement, and that the courts obviously have their job to mediate. So it's I'm very hopeful that Steve Cohen's action will be successful, and I mean he has a great number of people supporting that action, named as plaintiffs. I would hope the judge, and I think the judge has been assigned, Judge Wojtyszek as the judge, I would hope that he would do the right thing.
Wojtyszek from Niagara County?
I think it's Judge Wojtyszek, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we are in the midst of not really being able to see beyond the immediate in front of us. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. We're in uncharted waters, and we really can't project our lives any more than a week. We don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Don't know if there's going to be another surge. We don't know what how long it will take, even after we get a vaccine, how long will it take? Even if we don't get a vaccine, how long will it take to get rid of this thing? And will it come back? We have so many questions. Obviously, anybody trying to give us an answer would be illegitimate because there are no answers at this point. They don't know what this thing is.
There's a lot of speculation, and a lot of stuff is coming out from different doctors and research and places.
And there is a very viable dialogue going on about this being an overblown, way overblown, bad flu, and that the press has taken advantage. They report numbers, and they're just totals. They don't tell you the breakdown of those numbers. They don't tell you that if they test people 5 times in Florida that they're counted as 5 different people.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they just come out with these numbers which scare people, frighten people.
That's and that's what has been one of the key things since the very beginning, is that it's been a constant droll of fear every day, all day, on TV, on radio. And Cuomo loves to come out with and say, in the fact, we got to follow the data. We got to follow the data. Well, the data is coming out, and Cuomo's ignoring the data, all right? And his micromanaging of everything that's going on in New York State is just, you know, we're not, like I've said over and over again, we are not New York City. If he walks out the door and he sees something going on in New York City, he can't take it for granted that it's going on across the entire state. Yeah. We're not stupid. We know the protocols. The businesses are doing everything that they can humanly possible to do to implement this stuff, but they're constantly coming into dead ends because there's no real lead. They don't know all the specifics. And I think Cuomo's got his little brown shirts out there that are going into businesses, checking out on people, yep. seeing one person without a mask on, or he pulled a mask down, and they're calling up the Erie County Department of Health, yep. then they're coming over and shutting people down. It's unconscionable what I see is going on and what I'm hearing from people. And the whole key thing
it's a basic characteristic of a liberal, okay, that they have to assume some sort of power, all right, where they can, and micromanage the lives of mm-hmm. other people.
And dictate
they
to people.
They love to insert themselves in everybody's life. And that's a terrible quality to have. Live and let live is much more terrible.
There's a new name for people out there that just follow and support Cuomo blindly. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Cuomosexuals. I saw that the other night, and Jewel, in her mighty wisdom on Twitter, she goes, I'm going to use that right away. So think about it. All the people that are out there blindly supporting Cuomo, saying that he did an awesome job, and it's all Trump's fault. You know, I mean, really look at what happened. Trump was when did he ban travel to China? Back in January, you know, and Cuomo was still encouraging people to go to parades in March. You know, so really, if you look at every single thing that Cuomo wanted, he got, and a lot of it he never used.
Yeah.
He got the ship. They built a hospital. You had that whole hospital that was put in place in Central Park.
Trump bent over backwards.
Absolutely.
He built out the Javits Center for him.
Okay? Exactly. Was it 1,200 beds or something like that was done in less than a week?
And this ungrateful pig, okay, has nothing but critical things to say about Trump.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, ungrateful pig. I think what he's trying to do is he's levying fines on small businesses and on people to try to what? Dig out of his own deficit, which was over $6 billion before this whole thing started. Now I'm hearing it's up to $15, $20 billion. You're not going to be able to fix that, you know, by fining people. And I don't believe, and I don't want Trump to actually pay for Cuomo's. God, there's so many words I want to use, but I can't say it on the radio. I'm trying to be kind, but the guy is just so bad. We got to get something under control, and hopefully, this lawsuit that you said you're going to send me the papers on, I'll put that up and I'll share it on my Facebook page. But we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after news.
Forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free at 800-616-WBEN. And cell calls are free at *930.
Well, here we are. We're back. I'll tell you, if I look at my phone during that quick break and I'm getting text messages and messages on Facebook, how many people really enjoyed listening to Roger on the show. And thank you. And I thank Roger once again for being on. I did want to elaborate one thing. We got a full bank of calls. We're going to go and rip through some of these calls. But a couple of weeks ago, we had David DiPietro on the radio with us. And last time we filled in for Mike and Glenn. And David came right out and said the way that it's supposed to be broken down by, according to the New York State Constitution, is that Cuomo can be authorized to use executive powers for emergency reasons only for 30 days. After 30 days, Cuomo's got to go back to the legislature, and he's got to ask permission to extend for 15 days only, but he has to have explicit reasons why he wants an extension. And that's it. He has no more power than that. But what the legislature did was they gave Cuomo executive authority until April 1st, 2021. Okay? Then again, it's going to be in the budget. And who's going to vote against the budget? This is why it is so important that people know and people get educated about exactly what Cuomo is doing. He is violating the New York State Constitution, and he is violating the law. Every single edict that he comes out with has no basis in law. He can tell you to wear a mask, but he can't enforce it. I don't care what he says. He can't force somebody to do something that is a violation of the law and a violation of the Constitution. That's why we have a Constitution. So the only recourse we really have, and it's sad to say, because New York City dominates New York State politics, we have no representation in West New York. None. Zero. Zilch. We have a couple of seats in Congress, but what are they going to do? They can't do anything about what's going on with the Cuomo administration. The only real recourse we have is courts. You know, and who's got money? Really, it takes thousands upon thousands of dollars to file in Supreme Court, and then if you got to find a judge, if it has any kind of a standing, then and only then do you got to make all your motions before a judge can even rule on it. So this is a long, dragged-out process. So if Cohen, with Hole and Wiggy, actually has a case, that we need to get behind the guy. Anybody that has the ability to file a lawsuit against Cuomo, it's got to be done. And we got to get behind whoever it is, and we can support them the best way that we can. The only way that we can sometimes is just the ability to send 20, 30 bucks, whatever. So as I get information on this lawsuit, if I'll post it on Facebook and Parler. Somebody seems to say that Parler is probably pronounced parlay. Well, it could be. But anyway, go to Parler. Parler.com, I believe, and you can find me on that, and I'm going to show Carl how to get around Parler too. So we got a full bank of calls. You want to take some calls, Carl?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, let's go with Joan in Niagara, and she's going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, Cuomo. Hi, Joan.
Hi. You know, it's going to be difficult to get Cuomo out of office. I'm going to throw something out there that's going to sound bizarre. Can't we use the New York State mental health hygiene laws? Now, follow me here. Telemedicine with COVID has been an accepted way to actually treat people.
Yeah.
All we need is two doctors to verify the need that he needs to be detained for evaluation in a mental health facility.
Mm.
You know, he's had enough insane edicts. It's evidenced by videos, his poster, elder site of 1,200 people.
And his denial that he's responsible for killing 6,000 people in nursing homes when he ordered that the nursing homes take COVID patients.
All you need is two MDs to review videos, review his erratic behavior. He vacillates from one extreme to another. He's never consistent. Obviously, he has mood swings and anger management issues. I mean, this man is a detriment to society, mm-hmm. my pursuit of happiness. And as far as COVID-19, I think people need to know that positive cases can mean exposure, herd immunity. It does not necessarily mean infectious active disease. Look at the death rate. Do not look at the cases.
Thank you, Joan. I'm going to touch on that immediately. It's a great idea. Could you imagine if we got a hold of two doctors that could actually, you know, and I'm not joking here, the guy is mentally unstable as far as I'm concerned, that I don't see anything coming out of him in so many ways that makes any sense. If that's true, a couple of doctors to really evaluate this guy, that's interesting.
You know, something she said there we should note. People have contracted COVID,
mm-hmm.
but the effects and the symptoms have been varied, okay? In some cases, it's terrible effect on people. In other cases, they get a fever for a day, and then they're feeling okay afterwards. It's something that I believe someday they'll figure out why some people are more affected than others. But people have found that they have the antibodies,
yeah,
but they never had the
symptoms. Yeah, they didn't even know they had it.
They didn't even know they had it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might have something to do with your strength and your immune system and or your age or whatever. But someday they'll figure this out. Hopefully.
You know, people are always asking, do you know anybody that's personally had this? Do you know anybody that has personally died from it? And I do not know anybody that has died from it at all, not even amongst my friends. But I do know a couple of people that have it. There was a guy that there is a guy that works at the auto parts store on Grand Island, and he may be listening to the show. It's funny, we're on the radio, and you can walk into Advanced Auto on Grand Island, and you can hear us on the radio. So, Steve, if you're there, hi. But anyways, Steve had it, and he went home, and his whole family got it. They took nothing, and all of them were well within 2 weeks, and Steve was back to work. Friends of ours. Tom, okay, I won't say his last name. Tom had it, all right? And a couple other people in his family had it. Once again, they did not take any kind of medication whatsoever, and they were fine, and they were back out active again in 2 weeks. My brother, on the other hand, who lives in Texas, between Texas and California because of his job, he, out of total precaution, went to Mexico, got the hydroxychloroquine, he got Z-Pak, and he was able to get prednisone too it's an inhalation steroid.
Yeah,
and he got that stuff, and they actually had a party over at the houses, and one of the cousins was asymptomatic, did not even have it whatsoever, and he got it. He said he was deadly sick, but he went by what Trump said with the hydroxychloroquine. I always get tongue mumbled up with that word. He did exactly what the medication said to do, and my brother is doing extremely well right now, which I'm very glad to hear. We already lost a couple people in our family. I didn't want to, you know. But anyway, my brother Charles is good now, and I thank God for that. But otherwise, I really don't know anybody. But yet, like you said, it varies. Like Roger, he's got asthma. Well, I do too. I've got actually COPD since my stint in the hospital last year with acute respiratory failure. So I am extremely careful about what I do, who I breathe on, who I spit on. I don't spit on people, but it's just something that people like to fling out there. So I'm very careful about it. And by the grace of God, Jewel and I have been good. Carl, you've been good. I think a lot of people have had it. They didn't even know they had it, and they're perfectly fine now. So, yeah, let's look at the current data, and you're absolutely right. You may see new cases everywhere, Texas, Florida. They're counting them. The counting is all screwed up. But then what you want to look at is hospitalizations, ICU, and people on ventilators. Those numbers are virtually non-existent in many, many of the states. So Cuomo is out there, what? We got 15 states now, I think, that if you go there, you can't come back, and you got to quarantine for 2 weeks when you come back. Otherwise, it's a $10,000 fine. $2,000 fine if you don't register yourself at the airport. I can see Cuomo's brown shirts all over the place just watching people do this. So there's so many questions that are up in the air, but okay, let's follow the data. And this is where the data is leading. It's nowhere near as dangerous as what everybody said it was. So anyway, thank you, Joan, for that. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin in Pendleton. How you doing, Kevin, real quick?
Yeah. Well, I had a question here for Carl as an attorney familiar with the New York State Board of Elections stuff. And by the way, Russ, just wanted to know quickly, too, that remember, Cuomo got his the approval and support to do what he's doing, not only by supporters of the Democratic Party, but even by your favorite former GOP state.
Oh, absolutely. All but six Republicans voted for this thing in Albany, and I still want to get a hold of the roll call vote to find out exactly who were the people that voted against it. I know David DiPietro did, but who else? Yes. Who else voted against it, and then everybody else is guilty?
Including your state chair, and former Erie County GOP lead.
Yeah, I got nothing good to say about him, so be careful how you tread.
Okay, so, well, yeah. Anyway, here's what I want to ask you, Carl. As we know that Cuomo wanted to stop a Democratic primary, and it was unconstitutional, right? He gave short notice, and he cut petition signature requirements for Democrats, Republicans, and minor parties.
Mm-hmm.
He did not cut it for independents. And I'm not talking about independence party, independents. So non-affiliated citizen candidates. So therefore, isn't there a precedent based there that this could be challenged? Because independent candidates still have an opportunity to get on the ballot between now and August. Because remember, we're talking about the lower part of the ballot.
Okay, so you're basically talking about the opportunity to ballot.
The opportunity ballot, which he said was canceled until further notice, which to me says indefinitely. That's wrong. They are citizens just like everyone else.
You know what? Thanks, Kevin. I'm gonna look into that because I thought it was canceled for everybody. But if he's actually trying to stop even the opportunity to ballot, he can't do that. I'm gonna look into it though. Thanks, Kevin. That's another interesting thing to look into, along with a couple of doctors to make Cuomo mentally unstable, unfit to serve. Okay, John in Rochester. John, how are you? It's always good to talk to you.
Hey, Russ, I'm doing good. Hey,
good.
You know, I got to tell you, we're missing out on this herd immunity, and this is going to hurt us in the long run. We need to have more people infected. But having said that, I think we're going to have to beef up the COVID beds like Trump did in New York City.
Yeah.
And that to be on the safe side. But I think this is, as Carl said, this is a bad case of the flu.
Yeah.
And to shut down an economy is crazy. But the reason for it, I recall, is we've got a Black Lives Matter protest tomorrow in Rochester, and they have declared they're going to shut down the Interstate 490.
Yeah, I heard that, too. They're going to shut it right down, and nobody's doing anything to try to stop them.
From what I can see, nothing. They're going to accommodate them. And I'll tell you, the thing that ticks me off here, Black Lives Matter is operating on a false narrative. The facts are, statistically, blacks are given the benefit of the doubt by police. Statistically, when you consider that New York City, 70 to 75% of shootings and robberies are committed by blacks, 3 to 4% are committed by whites. In Chicago, 80% of homicides are committed by blacks, 1% committed by whites. The black males consist of 6% of the national population, but 44% of the homicide crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, statistically, it's been shown by a federal panel that blacks are given the benefit of the doubt. So Black Lives Matter operates on a false narrative. That's the ironic part about it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to disagree with you on anything. Did you see where in New York City, right in front of Trump Tower, they wrote Black Lives Matter, and DiBluzio was out there painting the yellow paint with them? And then apparently the other night, somebody went out there and put some paint on top of it. I think some black paint and some other red paint. And they're looking for them, and I think they arrested them. So it's okay to paint Black Lives Matter on a road, but you can't go out there and take it off the road. Just like Trump can't have a rally because he's going to spread coronavirus and COVID everywhere, and people are going to die. But all these protests and riots around the country are perfectly fine. There's no increase caused from that.
John, the only reason for the perception that this Black Lives Matter movement has some meaning to it is that the press has severely over-exaggerated the people that are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Young, wild people, primarily students and whatever, protest because they're just looking for a cause to protest, is one thing. But this Black Lives Matter thing has been blown totally up out of proportion by the press.
I agree.
Giving it too much credence and as the press has done on other issues. I mean, our country at some point has to find an answer to this. Responsible press has to in some way be rewarded, and irresponsible press has to be removed. And that goal, I don't have the answer for it, but that would certainly mollify a lot of the anxiety that people are carrying around with them.
You know, and if you look at the hot spots that are around the country, you got New York City, Milwaukee, Portland, Seattle. Is there any other place that's really, besides Washington, D.C.? Those areas really are the only ones in the country where all this stuff has come to a head.
Well, they're very liberal populations.
Yeah.
You get, you know, Washington, D.C. is 95% liberal Democrat.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's you're going to find an element in each one of these big cities that's going to have the opportunity, but to blow it up and to show it to us as though it's representative of the entire community, I'm sure there's a lot of people in Portland and Seattle, okay, that do not agree with this crap, okay, and they hate being associated with it on by the national press, but the national press is making it sound like the whole community is in favor of this.
And it's been going on in Portland now for 3 weeks. Now they basically set up a camp.
You got screwball mayors and governors out there who are making really poor choices. And the press, instead of criticizing them, is giving them paper, okay, and giving them an opportunity to voice their crazy opinions.
So. And they're kneeling down like even Biden did a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
John, you wanted to say something about Roger Stone?
Yeah, I was just going to say, number one, it was great to hear from him, and number two, the good example of the actual fascism going in. Look at what they've done to Trump's closest people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Manafort, Stone, Flynn, Papadopoulos, that even Michael Cohen, his personal attorney, when he was running for presidency in 2016, Michael Cohen was an excellent spokesperson for Trump. He was a big advocate for Trump. Of course, that died out, but here the Obama administration and Mueller went after Cohen. They went after Sessions early on.
Sessions
chickened out.
Yeah, I agree. I just got a text message from David DiPietro saying that the person arrested in New York City got arrested on a hate crime. So he put paint on top of the Black Lives Matter painted road, and he gets arrested for a hate crime. Can you see the hypocrisy here? Can you see what's going on? And right in front of Trump Tower, too.
It has happened before in other parts of the country. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. And even in Washington, D.C., they did that whole street. You had people that lived on the street that came out, and they were trying to paint over it, and they were stopped by the local officials. I got to be careful what I say. But thanks, John. You got anything more?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the head of Black Lives Matter here in Rochester a few weeks ago, or four weeks ago, called. She didn't care if the city of Rochester burned down.
Oh, isn't that nice?
They're supposed to be nonviolent, Black Lives Matter. Give me a break.
Yeah, okay. We've never had any violence at any of our rallies whatsoever, and we've been doing them for well over 10 years. We leave the places cleaner than they were when we got there. And there's never even any confrontations when we're there. But yet everywhere around the country, what are you seeing? Violence, rioting, looting. I mean, really? And then they talk about going into the suburbs. They go into the suburbs. I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening because people in the suburbs carry.
I'll tell you, the real culprit here is the media.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have propagandized the left's causes, and it's killing the country.
Yep, I agree with you.
That's how they sell advertising.
Yeah, it's how they sell. Yeah, blood sells ads.
That's how they get their paychecks.
Yeah.
Keep up the fight, guys.
All right, thanks, John. Always good to hear from you. It's really interesting. It's really sad to see what's going on around the whole country, around the whole damn country. Okay, we got Kathy in Buffalo about the bars being open. How you doing, Kathy?
Yep, good, thank you. So I own the Colony Lounge on Hurdle Avenue in Buffalo, and we've been open the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And I get a phone call from the health department yesterday telling me that, you really can't be open yet. And supposedly there's this tiny little line that says comedy clubs and adult entertainment can't be open yet. I said, but we've been open for 2 weeks. So I am calling to tell you, very frustrated. I'm contacting everybody that I possibly can on Monday. However, we are a cigar bar, and we are going to operate as a tavern, so we will be open, but not for what, you know, we are licensed for right now. But, you know, you can smoke in our bar. We're actually a cigar bar.
Right.
But very frustrated about the whole process.
Well, I have an idea.
Please.
I think everybody that owns bars and restaurants, you know that plastic fruit? You know, you got apples and pears and grapes and that kind of stuff. See if you can get any plastic food, like, you know, the hamburgers that they show on TV that look so scrumptious, and plastic lettuce, and put it on a plastic plate in front of everybody. Now everybody is being served food, so now they can have a cocktail. What is that? How does that sound?
Oh, that's perfect. But you know what? I thank you so much for taking my call. I was just hoping that everybody, you know, listens to your show will help support the local businesses and help support us. As, like I said, we are open, and you can smoke in the bar, and hopefully we will get it worked out with Cuomo's office and the health department, you know, in the next, but who knows, because the gyms aren't open yet either. So
no, I know, that's another travesty. What place is yours, Kathy?
Beyond Me, why they're not open, but
I know.
Makes no sense to
What's
me.
The place that you have on Hurdle?
It's the Colony Lounge. It's 1795 Hurdle.
Colony Lounge on Hurdle Avenue.
We actually are a licensed cigar bar, so like I said,
yeah.
And
you've been there forever, too.
Yeah, the bar is actually...
I remember when I was in college, yeah.
Make them stop. Sorry.
Feel free to call Steve Cohen, honey. I think Steve would be happy to help you out.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. I've been hearing that more and more and more from bar owners, restaurant owners, and everything. You know, the restaurant industry, Carl, you know, your company's in the hospitality industry. They were closed down for 3, going on 4 months. And here they are, finally, they get an opportunity, you know, finally, to be able to have customers back in again. And people are dying to get out. You know, people want to get out of the house. Jewel and I found this great little place on Grand Island. It's right on the water. It's called Casey's Cabana. All right, it's a little place. It's got a deck over the river. You can go in there, you get hot dogs and cheeseburgers, and you can go sit out on the deck. We did it last Sunday after church. It was great. You know, support your local businesses. Get on board with them. Do everything you can to give them a helping hand. And let's join together and let's try to fight this. So on behalf of the financial guys, Mike and Glenn, I want to thank you guys for listening in. And Carl Paladino, thanks for always being here. And our podcast, Freedom Talks with Russ and Carl. Look it up wherever you get your podcast. Thank you. See you next time.